Well, good morning, everybody. Did I say that? I was kind of wondering why we had tape on the microphone, but now Lisa explained it to me. Well, praise the Lord. This morning I woke up in just one of the most fantastic moods. Yeah. I'm lying. You know. Out of cigars. But no, praise the Lord, I had some good rest. But one of the things that there's a bunch of cool things going on right now. I know James and Rosemary, for you guys that do know James and Rosemary, they'll be coming down next week and get married.
Really?
Yeah, there's a wedding over there at the chapel. It's not done yet, but we're going to have one. Wedding decorations from last time have not been put down yet, so that's a big praise the Lord. And you know, I don't know. I mean, are we coming to the marrying branch here? It's like, yeah, we gotta go to South Carolina. Watch out, you might get married. You know, I don't know. praise the Lord. But that's very. What's that?
I said I'm certain I have business out of town.
I don't think you have anything going on out of town that week, Paul. But praise the Lord, we're not here to talk about. Never mind. Anyways, we come here to talk about the Lord and how good He is, and that is a testament. James and Rosemary getting married, that is how good the Lord is. And I remember with my wife and I, and that screwed up situation that the Lord flipped on its head, and it's been a blessing. But oh, that's the power of the Lord. That's how awesome He is. That's how good He is. And you know, I was reading here in Timothy this morning, and one of the things that struck my attention is, you know, it's talking about money here in Timothy, but you can really relate this that to anything that comes before the Lord. So I just want to go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. And you know, I'm going to start in verse 1. That is not the point that I'm coming to, but I like to read the whole chapter to get things in context with what it's saying. Okay, and you're looking at 1 Timothy 6:1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and His doctrine be not blasphemed. That's pretty much a whole nother Bible study right there. Because we have His Word. We have His way. You know, we take on the name of the Lord. When we say, Lord, become my Lord and Savior, that part of making Him Lord is actually part of obeying Him. Really, making Him Lord. Operating how you would operate. Behaving how He would have you behave. Operating how He would have you operate. And you do to find out. And that's how you learn to know about. You put your faith in Him. And you put these situations that come before you. Hard, tough, easy, no matter what. Whatever it may be. And you put these things before the Lord. And you want to build that relationship with Him. You bring these situations to Him and say, Jesus, how do I handle this? How would You have me handle this situation? Or I'm in a pickle. Might be something that, Lord, I've caused a mess. And I have chosen wrong. And because of that, I'm reaping it. I'm reaping just that. Lord, show me what You would have me do now in this situation. I repent. I was wrong. I didn't obey You the first time. That's why I'm in this boat. But I lift it up to You, Lord. I lift it up to You. And watch Him turn that thing around. But in situations, I mean, we have it all over. And this is just servants of how we're supposed to be to our masters. You know, that there's something that was said a long time ago to me. It was funny. Go out and preach the gospel and sometimes say a few words. That means live it. I was talking to a guy not too long ago and talking about ministering to a boss, and I said, you know, the best way to minister to your boss is showing him what a servant of the Lord looks like. Flap your tater traps as much as you want, but actually showing him that. That would be the difference. When you got husbands showing your wives, the character of the Lord. That agape love of choice. Standing firm in Him. Loving your wife as Jesus Christ loved you. What did He do for the church? He laid down His life for it. There's children. I have many authorities. I'm a child. I'm a child to some of my authorities. Talks about obeying your masters in all things. I didn't really think I was going here. Obeying your masters in all things. Or obeying your parents in all things. All things, obeying them. It goes a lot with like servants. Doing what they say. Without question. Showing them that love. I know one of the things that broke my heart is was I was frustrated with my wife. Very frustrated. And I started climbing down her chain so hard. Ridiculously hard. Absolute opposite of what the Word says. I took out all my anger. I took out all my frustration verbally out on my wife, the one that I'm supposed to be laying my life down for. I took it out. But she stood there and she took it with tears running down her face. Baby, you're right. I'm sorry. This was years ago. And it all, by her not saying a word, and with tears running down her face and saying, "You're right, I'm sorry," made me look at the inside, the inward man, and seeing the hateful, angry, miserable person that I am. And it broke my heart. Because she didn't do anything to deserve that. And that was a type and shadow of what we are called to do in some situations. And don't hear me wrong, sometimes it's making a stand on the truth of God and telling somebody the truth no matter what they think of you. They might be hating your guts, but you're standing on the truth. But for me, that in her position, that she did exactly what she was supposed to do, and it broke my heart. And that's all, guys, me seeing that, I believe some of where I'm at today. And the Lord's good. But that's, she bared her cross. That's what bearing that cross means. We go to 2 Peter. And I guess we're going to end up going there. If I can find it. No dead air. Alright. 2 Peter. No, 1 Peter. Actually, 1 Peter 4. 1 Peter 4. For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Says right here, to arm yourselves. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. What was that mind of Christ? What was that mind of Christ? Amen. To do the Father's will. Not my will be done, but yours. And whatever situation Jesus was in, He only spoke those things that the Father gave Him. when the Pharisees, he was direct, forefrontal on their pride, told them who they were, what they're coming from, where their heart was at, like a laser beam. He knew it. Right forefront before them. You had the woman that was about to get stoned for adultery. Where are thy accusers? There are none, neither do I condemn you. It's all about the Father's will. And that's what we need to be about. I just want to share that side note on that front. But let's go back to Timothy. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute to the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be there with content. You know, this is talking about riches here, and it's also talking about godliness with contentment is great gain. And this is simply saying, you know, being content with what the Lord's got for you. What is Paul talking about? And I believe in this part of the scripture, how to abound and be abased. Are those the two words? Is that right, Brad? Yeah, Paul, thank you. I know how to abound and abase. That means, look, he knows how to suffer need. He knows how to allow need. He knows how to be poor and be grateful in the Lord. And he knows to have where he has a bunch of stuff coming to him. And he's grateful in the Lord. It doesn't matter. He was level in the Lord. He was all about the Lord's business. That mattered to him more than this other stuff. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Those are the things that we need to be following after, is faith in Jesus Christ, peace with God the Father by Jesus Christ. All these other things are going to be washed away, and I know none of us in here are rich. Don't get me wrong, it's not that, hey, we're loaded and we really, you know, hey, we got a problem with this. But what do we have a problem? He's talking about riches here. But what are some of the things that become before the Lord that are your idols before the Lord? That he shows you. What's that? Or a desire for wealth. We act like we're worth a whole lot more than we are. I mean, just you take a look at the things that are in this world that we prefer over God. Ask the Lord to show you. Say, Lord, I don't want these things. Create in me a clean heart, because I know there's some things in here that become between you and me, and I don't want them anymore. Show them to you. And then hang on and be ready to call people around you. for a prayer to get through it, let go of it. There's nothing greater than the joy of the Lord. And we can go back to Luke, where he talks about, if any man not hate thy mother, thy brother, thy sister, thy father, yea, and thy own life also, and I know that's not verbatim, and I'm chopping up the scripture, but that in thy own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And how do you think you're going to enter in if you're not his disciple? You're deceiving yourself if you think you can. And that's slaying. And that hate there isn't, oh, I hate my daughter. I hate my wife. No, that hate, that's not the Philios time. I prefer the Lord before them. And that's good for them. That's good for them. That's the only good thing for them, is for me to put in first the Lord. Because He knows what's best. I don't. I'm evil. That's why we make Him Lord. I know the wicked, the devices of my ways. Almost dead in a roadside ditch. Don't get caught up in a roadside ditch. But making Him Lord. And there's no greater joy when you lift all these things unto Him. I've had my struggles this week, let me tell you. And this is kind of what kind of rooted this some of this stuff up. I had my battle of my wills and my wants and what I wanted to do over than what was set before me to do. And I had to choose a lot, to say, all right, Lord, I really don't want to do this. My heart's not in the right place. But here you go. I'm on the way. Not my will be done, but yours. And He met me. And He met me. And He met me. And not because I was good. Not because my heart was in the right place. Not because I was all that faithful. I just turned to Him and He's good. And I put my trust and my belief in Him in that situation, and He met me. That's how good the Lord is. That's why we serve Him, because He loves you. Above we can ask or think, man, He loves you. We don't even know what His love looks like. We have an example with our kids, how much we love our kids. Man, do you see your kid in danger? You will throw yourself out in front of a bus for him, man. You know how that is. And we're evil when we have that tiny little bit of understanding. We don't even scratch the surface of God's love. And really, I wouldn't know how to love my wife right. I wouldn't know how to love Briley right. I wouldn't know how to love Raylan right. I wouldn't know how to love Paul right or you guys right at all if I did not put Jesus Christ first and put on His love, His cloak, His way, saying, Lord, how would you have me deal with this situation? Because He knows best, I don't. And guys, it's not tied to this feeling, to this flesh. I'll let you know that this flesh is deceiving. And I'm not saying, look, when you to feel good, to be happy, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. Don't get me wrong here. But don't base that. Don't base that on love, that's Philios. It's that love of choice. Not my will be done, but yours. And Jesus took that love as choice. And He went to the cross for the joy that was set before Him. To the point He resisted against sin till He sweated blood. And He died while we were at our worst. While we were saying, crucify Him. He was saying, forgive them. That's that. That's that choice of love. That's what we're called to do. That's what, if you see the people that actually follow after Paul in the Acts, That's what their heart was, so that some might believe. Not everybody's going to believe. There's free will at place. This is not. But some, that some might believe, be about his business. Like it says, we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. What's that?
No luggage rack on a hearse.
No luggage rack on a hearse. Amen. But what we labor against is unbelief, and that we abide in Jesus Christ for eternity. Amen. That's the prize. All right, I'm done.
Things are going to fall. I know it. There are many of us who fancy ourselves. We have a tendency to esteem ourselves in better shape than we really are. And it just occurred to me that there's, you know, a lot of people out here walking around that fancy themselves, at least in some fashion, ministers of the Lord. But they have not continually submitted themselves to the Lord, like Phil was talking there. This process is not something that you do once and ride for 30, 40 years. It doesn't work that way. It might ride 30, 40 seconds. Or 30 or 40 minutes if I'm lucky. But this idea of subjecting, ceding our will to our master's will to please him. That which pleases him, that's what I want to do. That doesn't come naturally to us. And I have, and I imagine everybody else has, I don't know if this is one of these little metaphors I want to use here or not, but what came to my mind was, you walk outside, you're walking along, all of a sudden you hit, oh, God. There's something dead out in the woods, right? It smells foul, right? I see some of these people walking around, they have the stink of death on them. There's only one way you can get that stink of death taken off of you. Let's go to Colossians. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of your flesh through death. What? It's not what that says. That's how we read it. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. But it doesn't say anything about your body or your flesh. It's your soul he's presenting. Holy and unblameable and unreprovable. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, that means however many times it takes you to hit your knees and say, not my will, Lord, yours. Be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I am Paul, made a minister. He didn't come here to put perfume on the stinky, dead flesh and paint it up and look, make it look good and acceptable and pleasing in the Father's sight. That's still dead and corrupt, and it's judged. It's going to die. He came to present your soul unreprovable, unblameable, and holy. What is dead and judged is still going to be dead and judged. But we keep wanting to paint, fix up something that's dying, dead. Something that is the way we have learned to, it is our interface with the world. We're having to learn how to abandon that interface. It gives you bad data. It gives you as corrupt the data as there's no metaphor there. I can't. It's corrupt data. It doesn't help you. Corrupt data gives you corrupt outcomes. The five senses you have in the natural, you need to develop in the spirit. And you can't develop them in the spirit unless you continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. This is about overcoming unbelief and the false testimony you get from the natural senses. Corrupt data. We have to set our expectations on a God who the testimony of is He is good. And He will meet you in that time when you surrender your will to His, just as Jesus had to. Father, you know what? Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, thine. If there's any way we can do this, but when you're finally able to choose to rather please Him than those around you or yourself, then that operation is going to bear fruit in you. That operation that separates you from God. You were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh, because His flesh was perfect, through death. He took that that you had righteously coming to you on Himself, and He got executed on His body, on His flesh, through His death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. And then He resurrected, which proved God's accepted the sacrifice. He accepted that. And the power, as it keeps flashing back to Philippians, that I may be made conformable to His death, and the power of His resurrection. There's nothing there if we don't transfer ourselves out of the body of this death and into the body of His life. nothing there. No point in it. I don't know, people. I don't think. I think it's all I got.